Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday. It's February 12th. Valentine's Day is a couple of days away, so I hope you guys are just planning to have fun on that day. It's so fun for kids, more fun than you know, because, you know, they get to have candy at school, so it makes things very, very cool. I just got on the chat now, so if you weren't on the chat, I had to download something to get on chat today, so let's see how that works out. But I wanted to say today's show was a question that came in for Friday, but I was a little late on Friday. I guess that has to happen once a year, but it did. And I didn't get to answer it, but I also was asked by the person who sent it, can you still answer it? It was a big question for them, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a very touchy subject, a very sensitive subject, but how can you rebuild trust when trust is betrayed in a relationship with someone that you have met newer into your life, meaning a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years, you know, something like that. And, you know, you're learning each other, but you're starting to get close enough to where you're making plans, either making plans to live together or, you know, you've met each other's families, you've done all these things, and then boom, you know, something happens. You do something, one of the two of you, that totally surprises the relationship, totally surprises one or the other. And one of them just put a lid on half of who they were and just maybe thought no one would find out. But this is definitely, definitely the age of addictive behaviors, because the behaviors that normally somebody might do once in a while, we have access to 24 hours a day, whether it's on the internet period, but also, you know, with cell phones and texting and, you know, all these different ways of messaging. I mean, how many ways are there to message? You have texting, you have inbox, you have email, you have WhatsApp, you have like all these different avenues, Messenger. You know, you can text all day and there's so many different places to find people as well. So what happens when all that just intrudes into your relationship? So this was the question I got. Dear Nadia, if in a relationship the trust has been broken by betrayal or almost betrayal, how can the person that has been betrayed trust again? Can this person demand certain things from their partner, like for the other to cut out certain people from the other sex out of their life and social media, etc., in order to feel safe? Does the betrayed person have the right from the other person to feel safe? These things might lead to arguments, etc. And how do these kinds of demands not turn into a control game? How can the betrayal or betrayed person heal from the betrayal of trust? And trust like they have trusted before with their 100%. Much love. Anonymous. I had to put anonymous in there because I didn't have a chance to ask if it was okay to use the name. However, this whole trust thing is scary because in a minute you think you could just do it real quick and no one will see. But the bigger question is, who cares who sees? Why are you doing it? Why do you feel you need to be that person, and how did you get addicted, and how do you get unaddicted? And are other things involved, like either alcohol or drugs or anything like that? But how can you rebuild trust? And the only way you can do it is by both agreeing to full transparency. If the other person really wants to get better, you can work with them to get better, because what happens is people get used to two separate worlds that they don't even commingle in their own head. It's like, this is that. That's virtual reality. Who cares? It's not affecting my life. But then it starts crossing a line where you're going to meet those people, where you're going to see them. And you share that addiction, and you may share alcohol with them, or you may share something else with them. And now it's not so much a separate life. And these kinds of things, they catch up to us, not because we're not so smart, we can, you know, handle both. But the bigger question is, what's inside that makes you even want to do it? And risk a real person that you fell in love with and care about. And these are the two questions that stuck in my mind most from what was asked. Is this, can this person demand certain things from their partner for the other to cut out certain people from their of the other sex on social media in order to feel safe? What actually has to happen is a step before that. Does a betrayed person have the right from the other person to feel safe? Can you make, you know, demands because you were the hurt party? But the truth is, both parties are hurt. The one who's doing it and the one who's receiving it. It's like an intrusion into the relationship. Huge intrusion. Just walked in and it's like this third person standing there pointing a finger at both of them. Like, ha-ha, you got in trouble, and ha-ha, you're receiving is trouble. Now let me see you fight it out. For what? For virtual people that you barely know. But now you add into the mix something like alcohol or drugs. Now you have a whole nother situation because now you're dealing with two addictions or potential addictions. So what really has to happen in all of this, if the two of you, you know, really love each other and, you know, the one that's doing what they're doing needs to heal, because you can't heal without that being fixed. Controlling from the outside in, saying, well, you can't do that and you need to cut this out and that out and that out and that out, and then the person's like, okay, I'll try, but, you know, no tools to try. Because they didn't get there in one day, and they're not going to walk out in one day. They might because they're scared. They don't want to lose the people they love. But now you always have that wild card, and you always have to, you know, search for clues, and now instead of being their partner, you're a detective. You're a detective. And you have to make sure that the transparency that they're displaying to you isn't transparency that they want you to see and then not see this or that. So how do you rebuild that trust? You both have to make a commitment to each other that you're the most important thing to each other, most important person to each other. And that as being the most important people to each other, you're going to realize that this will take time and this will take patience. But on top of that, you're going to realize even further that the transparency that exists needs to be where, you know, your computer for a while just to make sure you're okay. The other person never really needs to go in there, but that you guys have access to each other's social media. That's a huge step. People who have nothing to hide don't care because they have nothing to hide. But it's a big step because the other person's saying, this is everything right here because this is where it all happens. And it doesn't matter if your computer is left open and nobody's nervous if their phone is on the side and whatever's going on. When you have people who have to hide everything and it's all password protected and you're both living two separate existences under the same roof or in the same relationship, that's not okay. It's like with kids, you know, you have parental controls, you have, you know, access. It's not a controlling thing. It's a very, I have nothing to hide thing. And when there's an issue with that, the fact that there's nothing to hide will help that person break that habit. Now, if they go as far as doing something and erasing all the evidence, and then one day there's always going to be that piece of evidence, at least you'll know if the problem still exists. Because go back to the first commitment that you both want to be together. It's not fair in a relationship if one of the two has an addiction that is unattended to. Because that addiction will end up taking over the relationship. So trust can only grow over time. In fact, I put a quote on a status, I guess, on Facebook that says, you know, trust doesn't grow on trees, but actions do. And through actions, and that can only come through time, the transparency is what will get you back. Now, let's put that aside for a minute. Usually there's an addiction behind that, whether it's to sex, whether it's to alcohol, or both. And if both, one's been fueling the other, like, well, they had a drink, and then they get on, and then they do this, and then they do that. Big reality in our world these days. Then the two of you need to help the one that's addicted to manage or get off, not manage. You don't manage an addiction. You usually have to just stop. And it's not easy, and you have to go through withdrawals, and you have to have support afterwards. We can't just, like, unaddict and walk away in a day. We can stop in a day, but the behavior, the habit, the wanting, the longing, we need to be around other people who are no longer doing that. And alcohol is definitely something that when it's introduced into your life and you go way over with it because you can't help it, now you're addicted for whatever reason. It runs in your family. You know, you need to escape. You need to address what's beneath it or it's going to stay. You're going to keep going back and forth. So the other suggestion in order to rebuild trust when trust is betrayed, other than transparency, making a commitment that the two of you are that important to each other, letting trust reaffirm itself over time. You both need to go to counseling together and to a program for alcohol addiction. This will be something, especially in the beginning, that has to be really intensive. And I happen to know, by the way, even though it's not in this question, that alcohol is involved because we've been working on this one for a while. But it was great that, you know, they wrote and they wanted to actually have it answered on the radio. And you don't want to be the policeman in the relationship. You want to be the partner. So you don't want to have to put demands because you were the wronged one or the one that was on the receiving end of the addiction. If the love is strong enough there, the only way the betrayed person can heal is by understanding that the other person didn't purposely try to hurt you. They've already been hurting themselves. And that you're both going to heal, but differently. One's going to heal from why they're doing it, and the receiving person is going to heal from what has happened to them. And if the other person is willing, because willing is a big deal. I had a situation where, you know, two people are together and they've been going out for a while. And I think I brought this up before on the show. And, you know, the person moved into a house and she helped them move in. They didn't live together. They're dating. And, she helps him move in, and, you know, everything's fine. And, you know, a few months later, she's looking for something. She finds a box of condoms in the house. But what was weird about that was they never used them. The couple themselves never used them. So now the woman is like, well, what's going on? And the man is never really, he's kind of secretive, kind of lives his own life and then his life with her. So she confronts him and he takes it really lightly. And, well, I don't know why they were there. I didn't even remember they were there, blah, 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 and all these things. They go to a counselor over it. It was a stickler. They broke up over it. They got back. They broke up over it again. But as time went on, because the answer was never really true, the woman could not accept that this actually happened because the answer was never real. You know how we always know the truth, but we also know when something isn't told. So even with her wanting the answers he gave her to be true, even with her wanting that, because there was no transparency, all the man did was just try to make it look on the outside like he was more trustworthy, but he took trips by himself and, you know, didn't include the woman and said, you know, well, I do this and I do that. And, you know, finally the woman said, what am I doing here? And she left because they did not work together. If one of the two cannot work together, then nothing is going to get solved. Because trust cannot rebuild when the person stays with that same behavior, because the minute you go back, you might miss each other, but the minute you go back, the same issues reappear if you both aren't together in the recovery. Trust is one of the hardest things to rebuild if you're not doing it together. You both have to be on the same page. You both have to agree that your relationship is more important than everything, not just because you miss each other. Making decisions while you're vulnerable is hard because you might be willing to concede that, well, this is how this person is, or, you know, I have to now watch this person and make sure that they're not drinking, they're not on social media, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. That's a big job. And you're not going to sleep at night. But if you both have that talk and say, hey, you know, I really don't want to be this way. I only get this way once I start drinking, and the drinking and I do it together. But when I'm not drinking, I don't really need to do that. Okay, so let's address the first problem. Because that's a very non-intimacy type behavior that we go into. It's a superficial behavior that's just a symptom of something else. But there's two things going on. There's the, you know, addiction to the alcohol, but there's also then becomes this addiction to the sex, this world that people get tied into and they can't come out as easily. But if they're willing to admit that they do it, willing to admit that they have the problem, and the two of you can say, hey, in our house or in our relationship, we're going to have full transparency. That takes a lot of trust to do that, especially on the part of the person who's creating the whirlwind within themselves that's now sharing it with you. You know, look into family history, look what's happened to their mom, their dad, their brothers, their sisters, if they have brothers and sisters. Is alcohol an issue for the family? Have they been successful in addressing it? Does the person themselves believe they can do it? Can they handle full transparency on their computer? Because a computer, it's a little box, but there's a lot that goes on in that little box. You can shop, you can, you know, speak to people around the world, you can do business. Some people, their entire work is on a computer. But there's also the other side of it, where I remember when Facebook first came out and how many relationships just that I knew of that broke up over people reconnecting. But that doesn't happen anymore. It was just like this brand new way of dealing with life and meeting people and getting to know people deeper. But the bottom line is that your computer should never have to be hidden. What's in it should never have to be hidden. So that would be a huge step towards saying, you know what, I really want to get better. And that would be your way of saying, hey, that I can work with. I can work with you, but I can't work for us by myself. That's not going to work. And while we're working on it, you may realize that all you needed was to be known for what you do, because then it takes away the excitement as well. Because think about it. If you're on the computer and you're in this hidden world and you're just doing whatever it is, you know, that's feeding the addiction, feeding both addictions at one time, imagine the relief when you yourself have nothing to hide. You know, when I was a kid, there was, and I wish I could remember the show. I wish I could. But it was one of those shows like a CSI type show where, you know, somebody does something and you go through the whole show and they think it's this person and that person and that person goes on the whole time. And one of the people that does the autopsies said every criminal leaves a clue. They actually ultimately want to get caught, because part of their thrill is not getting caught, but they leave clues because they want to get caught. And an example of that would be, you know, like a serial killer or somebody, and they do the same thing to everyone. Well, they're doing the same thing. Now they're creating who they are. But they do get caught for the most part because they leave a clue behind. They want to get caught. Why? Because they want to be relieved. The minute they get caught, believe it or not, in the weirdest way, they believe that people still have like a smartness to them. A lot of them, if they're not mentally ill and they're just acting out from being whatever when they were younger, they repent inside. They're relieved that they were caught. They're relieved that they went to jail. If you commit a crime or a robbery or something like that, you're relieved. Because now all the truth is out and you're not carrying the burden of all of this. Now I'm saying only people without mental illness, because people with mental illness, the minute you let them out, they will do the same thing again, pretty much. But what happens is when you have somebody in a position like this, they do want to get caught. They do want help. And like I said, if the love is there and the two of you really love and miss each other when you're not together, and the part of that person that isn't in the addictive, active addiction, you can make it, but you have to address the issues. There has to be full transparency. Otherwise, you can't get that trust back. The woman with the box of condoms, she never did, because the behavior of her partner never changed. And the way he dealt with the box of condoms and the way he discounted it and the way he would look at her when he tried to convince her that she didn't see what she saw or hear what she heard, she never recovered. And because she never recovered, he lost the relationship. It was that simple. There never was full transparency. Even on his phone, When texts would come in, the text wouldn't show. It just would show that the person got the text. That's how secretive. She's like, what am I doing here? And why do I have to worry about this? And she loved the man. She gave him months after that to create a trusting atmosphere. But when she broke up with him for the third time, trying to go back and not being able to deal with the trust issues, leaving, go back, trying to deal with that, leaving, because she really did love the man. But then she realized this man doesn't love himself enough for her to love both of them enough to keep the relationship going. And to be that secretive and that scared to be who you are doesn't allow the other person to be there. Might look like they're there, but really they're not. So it does involve that step of letting that person see every single part of you, because that's who they're going to be with. So if they want a relationship where both, all parts aren't being shared, let's say, then you don't actually have a relationship. You have half of a relationship. And it can't last if the other part isn't addressed, because the other part is going to rear its head at some point. So the counseling, time for the patients to grow, regrow, and it will grow if the two of you agree. And both of you knowing everything about each other, because it's the only way. You know, when Christ says there's no stone left unturned, thank God that this stone unturned itself before you guys made more commitment to each other. Because it wouldn't have been fair to either of you. You both would have ended up in a trap of dealing with unresolved issues through the addiction, and you already being there having to deal with everything that's going on. So this way, you will both know, are you right for each other? Is this relationship in the best interest of both of you? Can and does the person really want to overcome the addictions they're in? And going either once every 2 weeks or once a week at first together to counseling, or even like, I know in America they have Alcoholics Anonymous, but going somewhere where this person can get rehabilitated, even if it means them going to rehab at first to clean up, get the addiction under control, have counseling one-on-one for him and with somebody else so that he can understand or begin to understand, create a support group around that, and then you join in counseling together so that the two of you can stay on track, at least in the beginning, because the beginning is like the intensive care. There's no other way to rebuild trust. One doesn't need to control the other person because they were the hurt one, the betrayed one. Because both are betrayed. One, he or she betrayed themselves into now you're sharing that, because we can only share what we have. That addiction has nothing to do with the partner. They're going to have that addiction with or without you. The only difference a partner makes is you loving, having, both of you having enough resources, meaning enough love, enough caring for each other to face this together. Because that's what's going to make the difference in the partner staying and doing it. Because if you don't have those resources, it's going to be hard. So you have to ask yourself, care enough? Does the person love me enough? Do they care enough about themselves to make a go at full transparency, at letting trust grow over time, of going to counseling together and of them getting help with the alcohol and the social media addiction? Because now they address a lot more than just the what looks like the original source, the alcohol, because now there's all these other addictions you can have along the way, and these boxes that we have that take us everywhere really do take us everywhere. So to be realistic about what you're dealing with. I hope that helped. Take a deep breath, ask yourselves some questions, and know if you have the resources to go forward. I love you guys. I will see you tomorrow. Have a great Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.